I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, who is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. So, we're just carrying on our conversation yesterday about harmonizing the contradictions, or how the Krishna, he harmonizes all contradictions. So, which means that there's no contradiction, ultimately. It's all harmonious and all correct. There's no opposition. So, to summarize the discussion about Achintya Shakti, I just read from my notes. By utilizing his potency called Achintya Shakti, which is within himself, Krishna can harmonize or reconcile all contradictory qualities. This is one of the qualities that makes Krishna God. Even in the material world, certain jewels can do amazing things. In other words, they have inconceivable potency. We mentioned the example of different animals, as Prabhupada would mention. He mentioned about the fly and others. We mentioned about the lizard. So when the Acharyas discuss the Chintya Shakti, they mention it in terms of these two jewels. One is Sparshamani, which is called a touchstone, which is a type of jewel that you touch it to some iron and it turns the iron into gold. We've never seen anything like that, but apparently in ancient times such a thing existed. At least it's described and written about in the Sanskrit literatures. So it's Sparshamani. And the other is called Suryakantmani, Shamantaka. The Shamantaka jewel is described in the Bhagavad Puran. So in the Puranic literatures, it describes how 5,000 years ago there was a jewel that was like something like a blue sapphire, or maybe it was a blue sapphire. It's described like that. And that jewel was producing also gold. It seems that gold is a very desirable substance, and that these jewels produce gold. So the Shamantaka, which was originally with the Shankachuda demon, ended up in Dwarka with Satyajit. It was offered to Krishna by Satyajit when he offered his daughter, Satyabhama. But Krishna declined the offer of the jewel and preferred to accept the gem-like daughter. He said, I'd rather have your daughter. You can keep the jewel. You can keep the jewel, and I'll take your daughter. So we can see the value of conscious things versus unconscious things. The conscious objects are much more valuable than unconscious objects. Krishna showed that. It's one point he showed in that story. So he preferred to take the fully conscious living entity. Of course, it's expansion of Radharani. Satyabhama, instead of the unconscious jewel or gem, Shamantaka, which would produce 80 kilos of gold every day. That's all it would do. But if you have a wife like Satyabhama, she can do anything and everything. So that's the difference between material objects and spiritual objects. Spiritual objects have real value. So these jewels, so the Acharyas say, we can see, or at least we can read about or hear about, that these material jewels could do such inconceivable, amazing things. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all these things. So Achintya Shakti enables Krishna to do the impossible. So it, as we know, Prabhupada has a dictionary for, he's given to everyone in ISKCON. And Prabhupada's dictionary in ISKCON has all the words of an ordinary dictionary except one. There's one word that's missing in the ISKCON dictionary. You know what that word is?
Impossible.
Because Prabhupada said that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So a foolish person, you know, retarded or some kind of foolish person, he'll have a dictionary that has the word impossible in it. But at least in Prabhupada's edition of the dictionary, there was no such thing as impossible, and he taught this very graphically to his disciples by engaging them in impossible feats and impossible tasks, and proving to them that the impossible is certainly possible by Krishna Sharanam Mama, by taking shelter of Krishna and by surrendering to Guru and Krishna. You, a little girl and a little boy can sail off to or fly off to Tokyo and to Hong Kong in the middle of the cockroach-eating capital of the world and start a Hare Krishna temple. And that little boy and that little girl were known as Jagatarini and Burijan. So that seemed impossible to them, to go to Korea or where'd they go? Tokyo or Korea? Hong Kong? Hong Kong? Some crazy place. And then, or what to speak of, one hippie girl, one hippie boy in San Francisco, Prabhupada tells them to get together with a couple other hippie boys and girls and go to London and chant Hare Krishna and start a Hare Krishna temple. So that's impossible. How can you imagine to leave Haight-Ashbury in the shelter of Golden Gate Park and go off to London and you don't know anyone there, you don't have any money, but then somehow or other, within a year's time, you meet George Harrison of the Beatles, and it's 1969 and he's quite famous and quite wealthy. And then before you know it, there's Bhaktivedanta Manor is donated by him, and they cut a record album at Apple Studios, the Hare Krishna, the Radha Krishna Temple album, and it becomes number one throughout Europe and overnight. So that's impossible, inconceivable. But by Krishna's mercy and Guru's grace, then the impossible becomes possible. Even we have, then the same principle is kind of mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj 500 years ago, because he was living in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said that for one who remembers Lord Chaitanya, and especially Lord Nityananda, really more Lord Nityananda more than Lord Chaitanya, for one who remembers the Panchatattva, a difficult thing, a very difficult thing becomes easy. But if one forgets them, then an easy thing becomes difficult. So we see that in the case of us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the worshippers of Radha and Krishna, the mercy of Nityananda is the most crucial and essential attainment. We must attain the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya is not so merciful, although he's also merciful. But the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is impossible to attain without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya, you see in the case of Jagai and Madhai, they are very sinful and fallen persons of this age of Kali. They were practically our relatives. They only lived a few hundred years ago. And they were contemporaries to this age. And they were very sinful. They were into all the good things that we're into. They were into drugs. They were into whiskey and wine. And they were into illicit life, illicit sex. And they didn't have, internet and all these other things. But they did pretty much everything that people do nowadays. They even like to offend devotees and laugh at the Hare Krishnas and make fun of the Hare Krishnas, just like people do nowadays. When you go on the streets of London or Berlin or New York, so many people, I can remember in San Francisco when we were in Harinam, people would throw beer bottles at us and they would pour whiskey over us, from behind us. And they would put fish in our sankirtan bags, whole fish, and all kinds of pretty disgusting things that we'd have to experience in the course of preaching and distributing books in the holy name. So all those things are going on in Mayapur, Navadvipa, 500 years ago when Jagai and Madhai were there. So they went and they offended Nityananda, who was so merciful. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, although he's supposed to be an ocean of mercy, he immediately went there to kill them. He said, "You rascals, you offended my devotees." And so he took out his chakra to kill them. But then Nityananda said, "Look, wait a minute." So Nityananda, by his mercy, he made a bridge. So Nityananda makes the bridge between the jiva and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So Lord Chaitanya will give Radha Krishna Prem, but you'll not get Radha Krishna Prem without walking across the bridge, without crossing that bridge. Because from the far, we're so far away from Radha Krishna, and so far away from pure love of God, and so far away from self-realization, it's impossible for us to reach the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya or to attain his unlimited mercy and the great gift that he wants to give without, in other words, someone has a safe, and inside the safe they have $1 million. So they say, "It's yours, take it. Inside this safe I have $1 million, it's for you." "Oh great." And you say, "Just open the safe, it's yours." And they say, "Okay." Oh, but there's a lock on it. It has a key. Yeah. So you have the key. No, I don't have the key. I put the money in there. Your name on it. It's yours. You can have it. I'll give it. It's for you. Well, how do I get in it? I don't know about that. You know, you have to get the key. So who has the key? Oh, maybe this Nittai has the key. Oh, hey Nittai. You know, see, I have this little reservoir of, you know, money over here, and you have to give me the key to get that. Oh, really? Well, let me see. Are you attached to sense gratification? Are you, well, yeah. Oh, then I, sorry, I can't give you the key. You know, oh, are you a Vaishnava Apurati? Well, maybe, let me see. So like that, Lord Nityananda, he's more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has the great gift of Krishna Prema that he's freely distributing in Kali Yuga. But it's freely distributing, but there is some qualification, there's some adhikar. And the main adhikar is surrender. So, and that surrender, that ability to surrender and that ability to receive the gift of Lord Chaitanya comes when one receives the grace of Lord Nityananda. So therefore we say, Nitai Gauranga. First we go to the lotus feet of Nittai, because he represents the compassionate side of Gauranga. Just like first we say Sita, Ram, Lakshmi, Narayan, Radha, Krishna. So first we go to the compassionate side, and then to the source. So Gauranga is very merciful, so he's saying that if you remember me, then a difficult thing becomes easy. So there's nothing impossible for the devotee who is always remembering Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga. Prabhupada says that you can attain Krishna Prema by chanting Hare Krishna. In any age you can get Vaikuntha Prema, Vaidhi Bhakti and love of God up to the level of Vaikuntha or Narayan Bhakti or Vishnu Bhakti is available in every Kali Yuga. But in one Kali Yuga, Radha and Krishna come themselves to distribute Braja Prema. Radha and Krishna personally come. In other Kali Yugas, Lord Narayan comes, and he's known as Gaur Narayan. Sometimes you have some friends named Gaur Narayan, right? But so Gaur Narayan is Lord Narayan in a golden form, and he's coming to spread the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna mantra in Kali Yuga. But he's not Radha and Krishna, he's Lord Narayan, Gaur Narayan. But in one Kali Yuga, out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, Radha and Krishna come and say, hey, let's give something special. Let's give Radha Govinda Prema. I want to give my prema, and you want to give your prema. So let's come together. Let's cooperate. Let's make a partnership. You know, Radha Govinda Cooperative. So he said, all right. So they made a cooperative. They made a company, a prema distribution company. So they came together in a loving embrace, and one melted into the heart of the other, and they became one. Ekatma Dui Deha. So this Dui Deha became Ekatma Ek Deha. And that one Atma, that one form, that one soul, that one form became Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Rasaraj Mahabhav. So he came to give this Krishna Prema. But we must attain the mercy of Lord Nityananda to get it. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and that in this Kali Yuga, by the mercy of Lord Gauranga, we'll get Radha Krishna Prema. But we won't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Nityananda. That's why all the Acharyas and all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they always chant some mantra which contains the names of the Pancha Tattva, or at least the Vishnu Tattva in them. So there's three basic mantras that approach the lotus feet of the Pancha Tattva. What we're discussing here seems a little tangential, but it's all in the lines of discussing Krishna's quality of Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potency. So these three mantras are all considered bona fide in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And one of them is familiar to us. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivrinda. So then if I ask the question, where did this mantra start? How old is this mantra? Where do you find this mantra? Then who can answer this question? Well, let me put it this way. If someone was to ask you, oh, you chant this Maha Mantra, where does that Maha Mantra come from? What's the history of this Maha Mantra? Who can answer that question? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Is it in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes or no? No. Is it in the Srimad Bhagavatam? No. So what are our two main scriptures? That's the two main scriptures. So your mantra is not in your scriptures. All right. So now where does it come from? It comes from the Upanishads, right? The Upanishads. And it's also in Puranas, right? So it comes from the Vedas. It's in the Vedas. So it's in other words, it's considered bona fide. It comes from the Smritis, from the Smriti literature. And it may also be in Shrutis, in Rig Veda. At any rate, it's there. But this Panchatattva mantra, which we chant, it has its origin. Its origin is a couple hundred years ago. It's about 170 years ago with Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji is called a Siddha saint. He's a Siddha Mahatma. He's a Siddha saint, which means that every Gaudiya Vaishnava over the last 200 years during the contemporary time of and post-contemporary of Jagannath Das Babaji, they recognize that he was a Siddha saint. Whether you're Advaita Parivar, Nityananda Parivar, Gadadhar Parivar, or whatever. They all say, yes, Jagannath Das Babaji, he was a Siddha. A Siddha means that he had darshan of Radha and Krishna, he was a completely liberated soul, he was completely existing in his swarup, and he was, in other words, he made it. He was a self-realized, perfect being. And he's one of our acharyas, he's one of our teachers in the line of teachers, or Guru Parampara. So in his ecstasy of worship, this mantra came out of his mouth. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhara Shivasi Gaura Bhakti. Okay? So, now, before that, people were also chanting the mantras to glorify Panchatattva. 500 years ago, during the time of Lord Chaitanya, 500 years ago during the time of Lord Chaitanya, during his Leela in Jagannath Puri, everyone knows where Puri is on the west coast of India, and Orissa, Srivas Thakur was there, and Advaita Acharya. So, Srivas Thakur, he was having a discussion with Advaita Acharya, and he was saying that actually Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Krishna himself. And Advaita Acharya says, yes, I agree. But when Lord Chaitanya came and they started to present that to him, he said, what is this? What are you saying? I don't want to hear this. He said, actually, and then because Lord Chaitanya, he worshipped Advaita Acharya as his guru, as his senior, as his lord, master. He said, I am just a junior person. Why don't say this? I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm just teaching and I'm just, you know, who I am. So then Srivas Thakur, he went outside the Gambira and the sun was shining and he went like this. He put his two hands up in front of the sun. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? He said, I'm blocking the sun. I'm blocking the sun. I'm keeping the sun from shining. I want to block the rays of the sun from shining on the earth, so I'm putting my hands up. And Lord Chaitanya said, that's impossible. You can't use your two hands to block the sun. I mean, the sun is so vast and so powerful and so huge and so... that's about enough. It's going to far surpass your hands and shine all over the place, all over the universe and all over the planet. It's impossible. You can't block the sun with your two hands. And then Srivas Thakur said, yes, in the same way as you're trying to block your identity with a few words, you're trying to use a few words and say, I am not the Supreme Lord. You can't hide who you really are. You can't block your identity or try to hide from us who you are. And Advaita Acharya, he knows fully well who you are, and I know, and we all know. So then shortly after why this discussion was going on, all the Bengali Vaishnavas arrived from Bengal. There's about 200 people would come. It's told like that. Around 200 devotees to Grihastha. Mostly Grihasthas would come, husbands and wives, and children in some cases. Shivananda Sain's children would come with him. And even pregnant ladies would sometimes go over there. While they were pregnant, they would walk somehow, although that's not recommended. But Shivananda's wife, she was in Puri when she was pregnant during that Chaturmasya, and that pastime is there, meeting Lord Chaitanya. So these 200 people would go. So they arrived, and then some of the Risen Vaishnavas came. And they came to the Gambir, and there was a big kirtan. So somehow this discussion was going on, and then the content of this discussion was revealed to some of the devotees. So at that point, a kirtan came out, and this was the kirtan. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radha Govinda. So this is this mantra came out, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, that Sri Krishna and Chaitanya, they are the Supreme Prabhus, they are the Mahaprabhus, they are Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radha Govinda. So they have come to teach the worshipping, the chanting of Hare Krishna and Hare Ram, by which one will attain the love of Radha Govinda. So this came out, and then Advaitacharya started dancing in kirtan, the panchata, everyone started dancing. And then this kirtan has been going on since 500 years in the Gambira, and all over Orissa and all over Bengal. It's a very, very popular panchatattva mantra. So the majority of our God brothers and God sisters in the family of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya's family, which includes all of East Bengal and West Bengal and Assam and Manipur and Orissa and Bihar and large parts of the, you know, of India, they all chant this mantra to worship the least Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So now around 250 years ago or so, around 200 years ago, there was a meeting in Vrindavan. I forget where it was. But they had some discussion about the identity of Advaitacharya. And all the Siddha Mahatmas and all the great Rishis and all the great Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they said, we understand that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Balaram is Lord Nityananda. So they're Vishnu Tattva. But what is this Advaitacharya? Is he Vishnu Tattva? Is he Shiva Tattva? Is he Mahavishnu, or is he Sadashiva, or is he Jiva, or what is this Advaita? Because the mantra that had come down through the Gaudiya Sampradaya over the last 300 years was Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Hare Krishna Hare Ram, Sri Radha Govinda. No Advaitacharya, no Srivas, no anybody else. Right? And so then they said, wait a minute. I think they had a big debate. They presented so much from Shastras and scriptures. And then the conclusion of that was that yes, Advaitacharya is he's actually one of the Prabhus. He's one of the, there should be three Prabhus, Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Mahaprabhu. And we should have a mantra to establish this Siddhanta of Vishnu Tattva. So, Sri Krishna, no, how's it go? Sri Gauranga Nityananda, Sri Gauranga Nityananda, Sri Advaita Chandra, Garadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. So there, what they did there, and so you see how close this mantra is to the mantra of practically the same as Jagannath Das Babaji's mantra. So all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas from all the lines, they met in Vrindavan. This is 300 or 400 years ago. And they said, no, actually there's three Prabhus. Sri Gauranga, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Chandra. They're Vishnu Tattva. These three are all equal in one sense. They're Vishnu Tattva. Now we have Shakti Tattva. There's Shaktiman and Shakti. Shakti Tattva is Sri Gauranga Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra, Gadadhara, Srivasari, Gaur Bhaktavrinda. So Gadadhara is Shakti Tattva, Ladani Shakti Radharani. Then Srivas is it's like Narada Muni, he's like Jiva. And Gaur Bhaktas, all the Gauras, they're all of us, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, we're also Shakti Tattva or Tattvastha Shakti. So these are the three mantras. So it's not that ours is right and yours is wrong, or ours is better than yours. But just an educated person, you know, he makes his choices and then he's responsible for his choices. But his choice should be based on full education of the subject matter. In other words, we educate ourselves about all the different, one may educate themselves about different foods. Good tamasic foods, sattvic foods, yogic diets, passionate diets, tamasic diets, all different kinds of diets. And we're educated and we understand all the different things, but then we make a choice. Okay, I'm choosing this diet, you know. Non-veg, whiskey, beer, cigarettes, that's my diet. I'm choosing that. I know about all the other diets and foodstuffs and what the reactions are, but I'm choosing that and I'm accepting the responsibility of my choice and that's my freedom, right? So in the same way, an educated person in the field of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he may observe different lines of thought and different lines of bhajan and see what they represent and what they conclude and what their ideas are. Then he makes a choice. I choose this, and I'll be responsible for my choice, and it'll go that way, right? That's education. It doesn't mean, it's not like right or wrong, but so we follow our line. So I have my guru, and he gives me a particular viewpoint and teachings, and I try to understand what he's saying, and I follow this bhajan. So in our particular chosen line, we don't chant Nitai Gauradish Cham or whatever. Well, if you meet those people, they'll say, you people don't understand. This is our Siddhanta, because the way we understood it is that, like Prabhupada told us, they think that Nityananda is equal to Radharani, and this is Apasiddhanta. This is how Prabhupada told us, our Gurudev. But if you meet them, they say, we don't think that. We don't think Nityananda means Radharani. It's, the actual mantra is Nitai Gaur Radhesham Pabe. Pabe in Bengali means you will attain. But you will attain this Radhesham by the mercy of Nitai Gaur. So we say the same thing. We say the same thing, but our method is to chant the Maha Mantra and to chant Krishna Nam and Panchatapa Mantra. Anyway, these are just some, I don't know if this clarifies things for you or confuses things. But the main point is that we have a line and we follow it. And this is told in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's called Sajatiya Snigda, that one has, he's Sajatiya, he accepts a family. Rupa Goswami explains, and Jiva Goswami comments on Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one of the principles of devotional advancement is Sajatiya, that we have a particular line. Just like if you're a doctor, say a dentist, and you want to advance your cause, then you'll read magazines about dentistry, and you'll belong to some dentist association, and you'll go to dental conventions, and you'll meet seniors and dental surgeons, and you'll learn from them. So that's family cultivation. So in Sujatiya, we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and we have a particular line. You know, Gaudiya is our general family, then we maybe have a specific line or angle of vision. So if we want to advance our cause, we'll associate with devotees that are in our line of vision. For example, I had some students, and I was saying, what are you doing in your spare time? Oh, we're hearing from so-and-so, and we're going here and there. And he's a famous, you know, Vairagi Baba. On the Parikrama Marg, he's giving nice katha. I said, well, what is his line? I said, what is his, parampara? I said, well, we don't know. I said, what kind of tilak he wears? He said, well, he doesn't wear tilak. I said, that's interesting. Well, what does he say? Oh, it's really nice. He tells a lot of nice pastimes about Krishna. I said, this is not Sajatiya. This is against the teachings of Rupa Raghunath. He said, it may be nice, but you're like eating all kinds, you're just closing your eyes and just sticking your hands in all kinds of pots and eating, you know, this thing, that thing. But one pot may be cooked for the Chinese, and that pot has snakes in it. Or, you know, because the Chinese wants to eat a snake, and another pot has rice and dal in it. So you just close your eyes and put your hand in different pots, you're going to eat a little cockroach here, a snake there, a rice and dal there. You know, you have to be a little discriminatory and look what you're eating. Like, you're not just going to go somewhere, oh, go in that room, there's 100 pots full of food, just close your eyes and eat anything. No, you might eat some, you know, thing for the Chinese people over here, and the Vietnamese over here, and the Vaishnavas over here. So the same thing, Sujati means you should be careful about your association. You choose your association according to what you're trying to cultivate. So I said, look, this is not, you're not going to get the desired fruit by this association. So I tried to give a little shape. So this is called Sajati. Jati means a family. Means your own family. So we, although we're next door neighbors to the people that chant Nitai Gaur Radhesham, and the people that live behind the guest house chant it, we don't go there. It's not our, we don't eat over there. Right? So this is the point. That if you want to develop your line, yourself in a particular field, you have to stay within a certain parameter of association. So now we're discussing back to the point of contradictions in Krishna and why, you know, how it's a little difficult to understand these different contradictions, but how it's ultimately understood. One point that the Acharyas say that we have our intellectual limitations, which are imposed by time and space, they prevent us from understanding Krishna's actions. Therefore, his actions are inconceivable and beyond us. So we have intellectual limitations. In other words, we think in a linear way. Usually, that's why there's not too many Einsteins sitting in the room, including myself. these kind of thinkers that can think like Einstein in terms of other dimensions are very rare. Out of 300 million people or a billion people or 2 million people, you have one or two Einsteins. In other words, most people think in dimensions of length, width, and depth. When you go beyond length and when you go beyond time and space and start thinking of quantum mechanics and these kind of, you know, theories of relativity and going beyond the boundaries of time and space, then you leave the whole human race in the dust. You leave the whole human race in the dust because the entire human race thinks in terms of time and space. That's called intellectual limitations. So Krishna's whole domain, his whole abode, where God lives, where God's field of action is beyond time and space. So all of his actions and everything he does is in the land of no space. It's in the land of no time. In the land of space, Vamshivad on the bank of the Jamuna is 50 kilometers from Nandagram. That's the land of space. So the land of space and time is, if you're walking on walking time to walk 40 kilometers from Nandagram to Vamshivad takes several hours, right? How many kilometers do you walk in an hour? I don't know. Five or so? Depends on how slow you are. Say you walk five, so that's about an 8-hour walk. But Krishna is explained in Shastras that he was in his room pretending to be asleep, to fool his mother, and he bolted the door, then he went out through a side door, and within a couple of seconds he was in Vamshivad. A couple of seconds. And he didn't have a jet plane, and he didn't have a spaceship. He was just walking. Just walking, looking at the moonshine, and admiring the beauty. Well, within a few seconds, half a minute, he was at Vamshivad. So how is it possible? If you go to Nandagram, it takes you, by your little ambassador car, it takes you an hour and a half. You know, somehow or other, even though it's only 40 kilometers, the cars go really slow. Well, that's about right. They go about 25 kilometers per hour, average. That's the very rapid transportation in India. The rapid transport ambassador. At a breakneck 25 kilometers, you can get to your destination. That's the average speed. Like it takes how long to go to Delhi? 3 hours, 3.5 hours? Well, then I get going really fast. I get up to 50 kilometers or something. At any rate, so then you use your little brain and think, hey, wait a minute. It's not possible. It's impossible. Nobody can walk 40 kilometers in 10 seconds. This is mythology. This doesn't fit reality. But reality is only what you can, you know, what you can conceive with your limited intellect. So as your intellect is limited, your conception of reality is limited. So if you were to sit down and have some Mahaprasadam with Einstein, you wouldn't know what he was talking about. You wouldn't even be able to talk to him for 1 minute. You would say, excuse me, I don't know what you're talking about. You sound like a crazy man. You sound like you're completely crazy. So Einstein came to be, you know, even some of the things that Einstein wrote in his writings, still today the scientists can't figure out what he was saying. They don't understand it. They're only getting part of it. And Einstein is just some crazy German guy with, you know, kinky hairdo and, you know, and he had some far-out ideas on science and reality and relativity. Now let's talk about God. You know, God is a few notches above Einstein, isn't he? He's a little bit above Einstein, and certainly he can do a little bit more than Einstein. And so if we can't understand Einstein, what he was talking about, and just after 50 or 100, after 50 years we're starting to appreciate and understand a little bit about it, what to speak about Krishna? Maybe after 50 lifetimes of religious practices, we'll be able to come to the point of, yes, I believe. I believe. I accept. I surrender. Krishna Sharanam Mama. Krishna, you're my shelter. Then you're on your way back to Godhead. Because the spiritual world or Godhead, you know, the transcendental realm, is a realm of beyond time and space. So when you become beyond time and space, then you can enter that realm. When you become transcendental, or let's say we become transcendental, then we can enter that realm. I don't mean that you have to become spaced out. Not that you become spaced out. We use this expression in our society. He's spaced out. No. Spaced out means he's still in space, but he's out of place. He's in the wrong place in the space, so that's out of place. So we have to... So that's intellectual limitation. Now the other thing is, as this verse mentions, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atmabhakto. Vedeshu durlabham. That the Vedas, that they're, you can't attain Krishna with the Vedas either. Durlabh, attainable. He's very far. He's very far from the Vedas. Even the Vedas, the Puranas and Upanishads and Itihasas and Ubangas and all the different Mahabharata and Ramayana. Krishna's way beyond all those also. So this is how the Acharyas explain this in commenting on this part of the verse of Brahma Samhita 33 about Vedeshu Durlabham. That you're in it. It says, what does Brahma say? Brahma, where the Vedas come from? The Vedas came from Brahma, in one sense. Vedas came from the breathing of Vishnu. The Vedas also came from Brahma, because he's, you know, he heard the Brahma Gayatri and all these things. And he's saying that, hey Govinda, you're inaccessible by the Vedas. You cannot be accessed. Like, you know, you use this term in computers, accessing something or whatever, downloading and accessing. So you can't be you cannot be accessed. You can't be attained by the Vedas. Well, then why do we bother studying the Brahma Samhita? This is part of the Veda. This is Vedic literature. Let's just throw it out. So let's hear about this. How the Acharyas explain. The Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of nature. In other words, tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. The mode of ignorance, the energy of ignorance, the energy of passion, the energy of goodness. And therefore, you can't derive transcendental knowledge about Krishna and the spiritual world unless the Vedas are blessed with the touch, are blessed with or touched by the transcendental ladini shakti. The Vedas of themselves are insufficient means to understand the transcendental position of Krishna. The Itihasas and the Puranas contain everything found within the four Vedas, and they describe the intimate glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedas originate from Lord Brahma. The Itihasas and Puranas originate from Vyasadeva, and because Vyasadeva is the literary incarnation of Krishna, or God, therefore Vyasadeva knows more about Krishna than Lord Brahma. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Bhagavat Puran, Vyasadeva especially describes the unique position of God. So this is a significant point. The original Veda was called Atharva Veda, and that Atharva Veda was split into four. Rig Veda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda, and Yajur Veda. See, these are Vedas for yajnas, and Vedas for demigod worship, and Vedas for murti or deity worship and pratishta, Vedas that describe the samskaras and the karmakanda section, Vedas for worshipping demigods and elevation to heaven and higher planet. All these things are discussed there in these four Vedas. Various pujas and yajnas and sacrifices and mantras. So much unlimited materials there in Sanskrit. But they're all within the realm of material energy. So therefore they're within the realm of the Vedas, because generally when they say Veda, the Vedas in one sense is a broad term which includes even Mahabharata and the Ramayana. But in a specific term, Vedas refers to these are the four original Vedas. They're timeless, millions of years old, and billions of years old. But then, 5,000 years ago, Vyasadeva came, and he compiled and collected all the various teachings of different rishis and all the different sages who actually had realization of the personality of Godhead. Then he wrote down all the itihasas. Itihasas means histories. And he wrote down the Puranas, all the Puranas. and the Upanishads. And of course, the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the Bhagavad Puranas. So in these literatures, which are touched by the Ladini Shakti, this is what Jiva Goswami is explaining here in this commentary. He said when the Vedic literature is touched by the Ladini Shakti, which is coming from Lord Krishna's incarnation of Vyasadeva, because a realized acharya, a realized saint or sant, he is the embodiment of Krishna's Swarup Shakti, which is known as Vishuddha Sattva. And Vishuddha Sattva, as we will hear it time and again, is a combination of Samvit and Ladini Shakti. So that empowered acharya, the empowered acharya who is speaking Krishna consciousness or writing on Krishna consciousness, he is suffused with Ladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. Ladini Shakti is the bliss potency, or the power of divine love, which is embodied and personified and exemplified to the unlimited degree in the form of Srimati Radharani. So Vyasadeva has that power. He has the power of Ladini Shakti, and he has the power of Samvit Shakti. So therefore he wrote 5,000 years ago, and then he recorded Mahabharata and Ramayana. He put everything together and presented the totality of the Vedic literatures, which is the 108 Upanishads and the 18 Puranas, although there's hundreds of Puranas, but he at least brought together 18 of them. 18 Puranas, 108 Upanishads, etc. So these, particularly these literatures, are where you're going to find the transcendental glories of Krishna and Bhagavan explained. And that's why we focus on these literatures. Bhagavad Gita, which is the Gita Upanishad, is under this category. It's touched by Ladini Shakti. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the embodiment of Radharani's there. Her glories are... The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish the glories of Srimati Radharani and the purity of the love of the Brijvasis. How high and how glorious their love is. So that, the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's why Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramahamsa Samhita and the Amalam Puranam. It is a completely spotless and pure Purana. No mal, amal. There's no mal. It's Amalam Puranam and Paramahamsa Samhitam. There's so many Samhitas in the Vedas. There's Mano Samhita and Brahma Samhita and Bhrigu Samhita and this Samhita and that Samhita and your Samhita and my Samhita, Nidhi Samhita and you know, Haridas Samhita and every Samhita. We all have so many law books are there, and so many diaries and law books. But then there's the Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsa means that Samhita which is completely white and pure and is meant for the liberated souls, the Paramahamsa sadhus. Those sadhus that have crossed over all the modes of nature, and they've crossed beyond all the planetary systems, and they've crossed beyond all the aspirations of karma and jnana yoga, and they've crossed beyond all the different Vedic corollary literature, and they've come to the realization, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. For them, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam is for them. Nigama Kalpaturo, that verse is there. It's the fruit of the Vedic literature. It's the cream of the cream of the cream, the essence of the essence of the essence, is Srimad Bhagavatam. And that divine literature has been so kindly given to us by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. We are indebted for lifetime after lifetime to Srila Prabhupada for giving us the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam introduces us and gives us the highest conception of the Absolute Truth, and is the topmost Vedic literature. We may not understand it, we may not appreciate it, we may not even read it, unfortunately. But nevertheless, the fact remains that Vyasadeva himself and Krishnadas Kaviraj and so many other acharyas, that whenever they talk about the Srimad Bhagavatam, they say the Amalam Puranam or Paramahamsa Samhitam. So, this is the last point I want to mention, and we can finish this, is that as Brahma explains in this verse about the different contradictions of Krishna, that he's Purusham Purana, he's the oldest of the oldest, but then he's Navayovanam, but he's a very young, beautiful boy of 16. And he's not born, but he's a son of Mother Yashoda, and all these different contradictions. He can't be understood by the Vedas. And then he says, but he can. He concludes the whole thing. But you can understand Krishna, and you can understand all these contradictions, and you can harmonize all these contradictions if you're a devotee with bhakti. So this is the final point of four arguments that the Acharyas give to understand the contradictions of Krishna. That bhakti is needed to understand Krishna. In the verse, Atma Bhakto mentions that Vedic knowledge alone will not reveal the two-armed form of Krishna. In the Gita, Krishna explains, Bhakti Mama Bijananti Yavanyash Tasmi Tattvataha. If you want to know the tattva, the full truth of Krishna, only by bhakti can you know Krishna as he is. Then in the story of, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam about the yogic Brahmins, they knew Yajurveda, Rig Veda, so many Vedas they knew, but they when Krishna's friends came and begged some food from them, they said, get lost, we have no time. They didn't even pay any attention to them. But their wives were attracted to Krishna just by hearing about Krishna from the Malis and the Pulinda women. They became attracted to Krishna, and so much attracted that they surrendered and they did service and they fell in love with Krishna because they had devotion, they had bhakti. They didn't have any knowledge, they just heard about Krishna and they had. So the wise understood and served Krishna with love. Lord Brahma knew all the Vedas, but he was bewildered by this little coward boy in Vrindavan, Brahma v. Mohan Leela. He was, bhakti devotional service is the most important requisite for understanding Krishna, not Vedic knowledge. Most of the Vedas originate from the material ethers by Lord Brahma. But those parts of the Vedas which did not originate in the ether, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the Puranas and the Itihasas, that originate from the literary incarnation of Krishna, Vyasadeva, they come from the transcendental realization of Ladini Shakti. They are truly Shabda Brahman, spiritual sound, coming from the transcendental realm of Goloka. So these Vedic literatures alone, and no other Vedas, these Vedic literatures alone and no other Vedas can give knowledge of the transcendental form and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the Beautiful.